remember myself as a salesperson making this mistake.
If you don't do good enough discovery, then the next logical step can be challenging.
We need to talk about the two glaring issues. It doesn't sound like a bad call on the surface, but there's some key stuff missing here.
I want to bottle that and use it in all the rest of their conversations, right?
Let the lead talk until they should stop talking and you need to redirect.
That worked okay 10 years ago. It doesn't work today because...
Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeag and Brian Curtis back again for another episode. Brian, there are still leads out there. There are still salespeople having bad, good, and exceptional conversations. And I feel like we should pick those apart and we should help move people from the left to the right. How does that sound?
That sounds fabulous. I really like that idea. We have the opportunity to just slide people over just to be slightly more productive. You know, one of our meetings today, I asked somebody, what if you were 10% more productive? Like, what does that really mean? You know, in some businesses, it's like, oh, I'd make an extra $100 a month. In our business, 10% increase in productivity is significant. One of the really good things about real estate, and you know, it's also one of the bad things, like we were talking about, sometimes you lose $1 million deal and that stings a little bit. So, you know, such is the trials and tribulations of real estate. But, you know, we're here to just help you guys get more deals and you care less when one falls out, right?
Right, exactly. Speaking of which, I have a call that I want to play for us today. And on the surface, this sounds like a great call. Like, I feel like this salesperson got off the phone and was like, oh, I had a great call, great lead, going to convert them in the future. Maybe even their manager or team leader might be like, all right, cool, solid conversation. We're going to listen to this. And I think you are going to hear the glaring opportunity that were missed, just like I heard. And if you heard this on your team, you'd say, well, go call them back right now. What is wrong with you? So, Brian, this is only a 4-minute, 31-second call. You know, there's a couple of things in here that I'm going to talk about. We're going to talk about the intro. We're going to talk about follow the no. And we're going to talk about what you call buttoning up, or I'm going to talk about logical next step.
Hey, Dan, I work for
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. So real quick, about a year ago, you signed up on my website looking for some houses, selling some property out in this area. Just checking in, seeing if you were still looking to buy a house out there.
Okay. So I'd say the intro, I'm going to give it a B. And here's why I'm going to give it a B, or maybe a C+. He got the pieces in there. Who he is, where he's calling from. He eventually got to why he's calling her and what he wants to know. My issue with this is that he already knew that she had taken a certain action X amount of time ago, right? And he didn't use it until he gave a salutation. So basically what happened was he said, hi, I'm a strange salesperson with this company over here. How are you today? Right? Now, I don't know how many times you get called by a strange salesperson out of the blue and you're excited to talk to them, Brian, but I never am.
Zero. I get a lot of those calls, but I'm never excited.
So. Zero of the times, right? And so if this salesperson already knows, hey, Brian, you registered on my website about a year ago looking at houses for sale, right? Use it before that salutation. Use it much faster so that it sounds more like, hi, I'm a strange salesperson from over there, but I'm calling because you took a specific action at this time in the past. And here's what I want to know now. Are you still looking to buy a house? Put it all together, right? So when you're calling these people who have no idea who you are, don't waste the time with how are you doing. In fact, if you need to do that sort of salutation, do it after you deliver the who are you, why are you calling, what do you want to know? I just feel like that's more efficient. What do you think, Brian?
I completely agree. I think sometimes we get really caught up in this cordiality. Our job is not to be cordial. Our job is to be a salesperson. So first of all, take the first opportunity you can to say, wait, you want to talk to me? Remember, you said it was okay. It's a different thing with the else, but that's what we're saying. Like, you know, that's why, like, hey, this is Brian Curtis. I'm following up with you like I said I would. Oh, right. Okay. Well, you said he would. And clearly I must have agreed to it, whether they did or not, who knows. But most people are going to assume that they agreed to it if you say I'm following up like I said I would. So, you know, some version of that, or hey, I'm following up with you because you made an inquiry on our website last year, da 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 da. You know, whatever it is. But yeah, get the wall down, get the objection, because I've literally done this, Dale, and I'm going to go out on a limb. You know, we've known each other for a while and you've probably done the same thing. The second you know it's a salesperson, you hang up.
Yeah. Well, I don't do that anymore, but yes, at least I'm hanging up in my head. Like, I'm done with this conversation, especially right. when it's a really bad introduction. I'm like, oh, you're dead. You're dead in the water.
I actually had to apologize to somebody a couple of weeks ago because I picked up a phone call and you could hear, it sounded like they were in a, what do they call it, like a bullpen of calls. And they were, but that was just a coincidence. Like, it had nothing to do with why the guy was calling. He was calling to make an inquiry about a piece of property. And I was very short with him. I'm like, what do you want? And he's like, well, I'm calling about this. I'm like, oh, crap. I've just been to Jackass. So not my best moment. And because the guy didn't lead with, hey, I'm calling about such and such property, immediately I'm like, oh, great. How can I help? Once I figured that out. But he came in with, and I speak to, and I'm like, oh, another, you know, why did I answer this kind of, you know, thing? So yeah, absolutely. Get that out of the way, because Dale and I are not that unique. We might be grumpier than other people, but generally people still have the same thoughts, right?
Exactly. All right. Now, so he did ask a direct question. Finally, he finally got to it. Are you still in the market to buy a house? Let's hear what she says.
Well, I'm trying to turn off this video that I'm watching. I can't turn it off, so I'm hearing both of y'all. We're not yet. We will be sometime next year, but we're not ready to do that.
Not yet. Sometime next year. Okay, so everybody heard that, right? That's what we call an objection. Not you, not now, not under these circumstances.
Right now.
Sure. Are you still looking only in I see you have a pretty precise map search. Just want to make sure you were getting the right results.
Here's what we teach. We teach follow the no. This wasn't bad, but I don't think it's as productive as if he would have asked, oh, got it. What's important about buying next year? Follow the no.
So as we sit here, I don't know what the day of this call was, but next year is not that far away. If you get this objection in February, it's different than if you get it in December, right? These people might want to start looking in January. Oh, we're looking to buy in March. Well, then you better start looking in January or maybe tomorrow, you know?
I think this recording was from about October.
Okay.
So next year can be pretty ambiguous. I think at its core, what I'd much rather see is a more productive question into the face of an objection, which is what we call follow the no, which is how did you decide that? Why is that important to you? What's the advantage to that?
Exactly.
Get that from the consumer so that we can follow down the path of why not now? Why not sooner? Right.
Yeah. And also, I like where Dale went with that, because Mike, where I went can come later, right? Once you find out, oh, I got this person doing this and this and this and this. Oh, perfect. So you're thinking first quarter, second quarter based on that, you know, so you can, it becomes more natural and it doesn't feel like I'm questioning you. It feels like I'm understanding you.
Yeah. Absolutely. And here's what I would say also when you're listening to this, as we continue to listen to this call, this woman is willing to invest her time with this strange salesperson and she's totally okay with that. Not everybody is, okay? And what we know is that when a consumer starts to object to you, not now, not with you, not under these circumstances, usually it really compresses the amount of time they're going to continue talking to you as a salesperson. So the other point around follow the no is that keeps you with the most productive path of questioning that you can follow to have the best shot at making it either sooner or even now, if you possibly can.
Because we don't know what the objection is yet. Because that's not a real objection. That's the excuse that overlays the objection.
Yeah, mainly in just county area, preferably.
I'm going to speed this up a little bit because all he's doing is trying to figure out how to fix her search. Actually, I do want to hear one thing that he kind of messes up here as he's fixing the search.
So you're looking at this county, and areas where you want to be, 20 acres.
Yeah.
Are you looking to get some horses on there?
No. No, not really. I just want to, I mean, and not that much land. We don't.
Like what? 20 acres, I guess that's must have been what the search was. And he's trying to be like chatty, jovial dude. He's like, oh, you want to put some horses on there? No. Right. I distinctly remember myself as a salesperson making this mistake. In fact, I did it when I was a bartender. So I was trying to chat this guy up. He randomly came in for lunch one day. He's like one of the two people at the bar. I start to try to chat him up and he's like got paint on him. And I'm like, oh, are you a house painter? And he's like, no, I own the bar down the street. We're just doing some renovations, right? And I could see the look on his face like, you're an idiot, right? And it always stuck with me because I had made the wrong guess. It wasn't a bad guess, right?
No, pretty logical.
And it could have easily have gone the other way, and I could have been dead on the spot, and I would have been such a smart guy. But this business owner from down the street took offense, thought that somehow I was an idiot and didn't know who he was. And so it just really changed the tone of the conversation and the interaction with that person. So even though it may seem totally innocuous when you're trying to relate to somebody or trying to build rapport with somebody, taking wild stabs at things, if you're wrong or you're off the mark, can mean something entirely different to the other person or have some form of significance to them that you don't know about. And so now I keep it a lot more vague or open. So in this case, instead of, oh, do you want to put some horses on there? It might be like, wow, so tell me about wanting 20 acres. What's important about 20 acres?
And that's a significant amount of land. Out of curiosity, what, you know, for what purpose? What are you guys planning on doing with it? Oh, you know, we'd ride four wheelers and have our grandkids out and da da da. Well, that's a hell of a lot different than horses.
Different than horses. Yeah. I'm an organic farmer. Oh, got it. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I grow weed. I don't know. Who knows, right?
I grow weed. Great. Or, hey, I have horses on there. But okay, cool. But trying to pick it, especially when you don't know somebody, can do bad things for you. Now, it didn't screw this call up. It was totally fine. But again, Brian, we like to point out those things that can bite you in the ass when you don't pay attention.
Perfect.
So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Let me put it on faster here.
I'd like to have at least the minimum, you know, 2.5-3 acres. You know, if more comes with it, you know, that's even better. But no, we're not planning on doing that. We just want some room.
Okay.
Or I do.
Okay, good. You have a max acreage of 20. Okay, for a second, I thought that you had a minimum of 20, and that would have been quite a travesty because you wouldn't be getting any results. Okay.
Oh, great. Right.
Okay. So just want to kind of confirm, looks like your max price of about $625, and you got your map all set up, and only one-story homes with a minimum, you said, of 1 acre and a max of 20. Is there anything else that kind of,
minimum for me, I mean, I would like to have a minimum of 2.5 or 3 acres.
Okay.
I want a little bit more. Okay. Yeah.
Let's do 2.5. That'll really help. And then I'm going to make it active homes only, so you're not getting your time wasted with houses that are already under contract. Now, I see you don't have the bedrooms and bathrooms set. Do you have any minimums for those?
Well, I mean, two.
Two. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Two, and definitely just one story. We have two now and we just don't use it.
That is so, already said. It looks like you already did that. Good job on that. A lot of folks don't realize we have that that filter on here. So it looks like you're good to go, Ms. There's some decent results. And you know what I'll do? I will send you today's results to your email. At Gmail. I'll just send you to
get them to confirm the email address that they want it sent to, just in case it's changed or they gave you a crappy one.
Today's results, just so you can kind of have my email in your inbox and just so you can see a nice updated result.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we can go up. I mean, if it's the right house, we can go up a little higher. So, if you want to set it, you know, 725.8 a little bit higher. I mean, we can if it's the right house, of course.
Yeah, let me just do that so you can have a nice, wow, you've almost doubled your results. So that may have been a good decision. So I'm going to send you today and excellent. And then Mr. what I'll do is I'll just follow up in a couple of days and seeing how this is looking for you. And then maybe we can get a game plan to see if we can kind of get you ready for next year.
So I'm going to just finish this because we need to talk about the two glaring issues. And I played this whole thing because I want to show what's missing. It doesn't sound like a bad call on the surface, but there's some key stuff missing here.
Okay, awesome.
All right, Ms. Thanks for taking my call today. I appreciate it. I know everyone's busy end of the year. I will follow up with you in a couple of days. Same method, you know, a quick phone call, and then we'll go from there.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The woman has no idea who he is. Calls her out of the blue. She's been in the system for a year, right? There's some search that was set up. It was incorrect, needed to be refined. So big fat thing that he's missing, Brian, you probably agree, is who, where, when, why, what, and how much. The only thing we talked about was a little bit of the what, right? How much and the where. But the who, the when, the why, I'm unclear on that. When is sometime next year, and I have no idea why. I don't know who's moving with them. I don't know what decisions they're making. I don't know why they're buying or selling or doing whatever. The only thing I know that she wants at least a couple of acres because, quote, they want space. But that's all I know, right? And I don't know whether they have to sell a property. I don't know any of those things. So all that stuff is missing and it needs to be discussed in this call Because when people talk about themselves, they talk about their story, they talk about what's motivating them, what's important to them, what they want to go toward and get away from, they build rapport with the salesperson they're telling that to.
I feel like there was a huge opportunity with this person because, you know, we talked about some of the stuff that was not what Dale and I would consider ideal on the front end, and she still just hung in there and talked. So I feel like we could have, oh, perfect. What's got you moving next year?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on a downsize. We're in a two. I think she said she's been in a two store. I don't know if she's currently or not. I couldn't quite grasp that. But nonetheless, she knows moving. Oh, okay. Great. So out of curiosity, what do y'all do for a living? Oh, we're retired. I think that's probably where we were going. Or there's a real good possibility they're retiring next year because there's something that's making them move next year. And I think it's super important to understand what it is.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of the details around that. And then I would say the button up or the logical next step is what we call it. And really all it was is, hey, I fixed your search. I'm going to send you some properties and then I'll call you and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
What's in it for her? Why are they going to interact? What's she going to get out of it? Why is it important to her? You know, that none of that. I think that we could have just set a much better process around this and gone from there rather than the, oh, I'm just going to call you and see if you like the properties I sent you.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, if we look at this, I feel like he did the best he could with the information he had because he didn't have all the information. So it really kind of emphasizes how important discovery is, because if you don't do good enough discovery, then the next logical step can be challenging, because the next logical step here is, for me, it's to find out why this person's actually moving and what they want, but we don't have that. So his next logical step based on the information he has isn't that bad. It's just they didn't get the right information.
So now where he's at is he's in the classic position of, I'm going to send you listings until you see something you want, and then I'm going to wait for you to tell me that you want to see it.
Here's the thing, in my opinion, Dallin, I don't know how you feel about this. That worked okay 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think it worked today. It doesn't work today because there's a real good chance that this person's never even going back to his website. She's going to go to Zillow. She's going to go to Realtor.com. She's going to go to somebody else's website. There's no upside for her to go to his website.
Right.
I mean, she apparently learned how to tweak to get the details she wants, but I'm with you. It feels like a good call and there's plenty of opportunity for improvement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've got a kind of a similar call in that it's not bad and it's not awesome and you know, some interesting stuff. So I want to preface something at the end of the call. I'm not even sure if we're going to get there or not, because sometimes we just start talking and it makes more sense. But at the end of the call, she asked this question, do you have a real estate agent? And not my favorite question anyway, but, and we're not going to listen to this, and that's why I'm telling you that. This is a live transfer. The account rep or live transfer person, whatever you want to call them, told her she does not have a real estate agent. Mm. Listen to what those people say. There's valuable information in what they said. And so, and if you still wanted to make sure, you could say, hey, the guy from Realtor.com said that you're not working with an agent. Did he have that correct? It's actually a significantly softer way to say that than do you have an agent? And I always use, instead of do you have an agent, have you looked at any homes? Yeah, we've looked at a home. Great. How'd you get in that home? Oh, we went to an open house, or we called the listing agent. Oh, so it sounds like you don't necessarily have any commitment to one particular. No, we don't. Okay, good. Now, I also know, and I know you this, things have changed. You know, like if you got in the door, you probably signed an agreement. You might have signed a one-day agreement, but you probably signed an agreement if you got in the door nowadays. That's not, it wasn't true a year ago, but it's definitely true now. So
yeah.
Anyway, interesting perspective on that. So
hi, Realty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. How's your day going so far?
It's going fine.
You can hear how the person is like, will you get to it already? Right. I already had a conversation with this person who has a very thick accent. And then you get me on the phone. You ask me how I'm doing. You ask me how my day is going. I don't want to spend my time BSing with salespeople. Like, that's what I interpreted from the woman's reaction. Like, let's move this along.
Right. And here's the thing, especially if you're dealing with live transfers, Zillow, Realtor.com, or any other, I don't know what other live transfers there are. But when you're dealing with live transfers, understand the person's, to Dale's point, he's already fed up. He didn't really enjoy the conversation they had with the salesperson who clearly wasn't local. Now you're gonna make him go through it again?
And in all fairness, could have been local, but the perception is when a person has a thick accent, the immediate perception is they aren't local or they don't understand me. You just have to understand that from the consumer, and it tends to upset them or make them annoyed.
Yeah, this person had an accent, and I'll be honest, when I can't understand the other person, it annoys me. I'm trying to have a conversation, I can't communicate.
Right or wrong, that's what happens. So
we're humans. Like
you can be right or rich.
Yeah. You know, and that's not because I care where they're from. It's because I'm lazy and I want to work that hard trying to figure out what you're saying. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. Yeah. There are other people who don't like it for different reasons. I'm just saying I don't like it because it makes me work harder. So don't make the person work harder after they've already worked hard.
Yeah. So my point is just know that it probably has annoyed the consumer. Not always. May have. Take that into consideration. Get right to it quick for them because they may have that sense of, I'm wasting my time or this needs to hurry up.
Right. So let me just cover the script real quick. So, hey, this is Brian Curtis. I'm a local agent. I see you were looking at 123 Main Street. How can I help? Or would you like to set an appointment or something? But I use mine softer. I know like Zillow says you have to just go straight for the appointment. Dale agrees with that. And I guess I'm a little bit softer. Would you like to set an appointment or do you have any questions? There's reasons not to do it my way. Whatever works for you. And, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with, I think is where we go there.
So with this Realtor.com Live Connect, was the prospect asking to see a property? I'm not sure what the scenario is. Or is realtor just calling out and then connecting you with people who actually respond?
Right. So they fill out a form just like any other thing. And then realtor.com call center calls them and has a conversation. And then they've gotten to the point, in this case, the person had some interest about a specific property. So
got it. Okay. Yeah. So at that point, 9 times out of 10, I assume, does the transfer say to the receiving agent, they want to book an appointment or they have questions? Do they at least give them that much guidance?
They'll give them different information. Like they gave them, do they have an agent? Are they pre-approved? They want to see this property. And I'll be honest, I can't remember what this one said, to be honest, but you are going to get that information.
This might be screwing you up. Can we play what the prompt was?
For you, this call may be recorded, monitored, and shared with the brokerage for quality purposes. I first wanted to let you know this lead is owned by your brokerage. Her name is She is not pre-approved yet. She's looking to buy in the next 6 months. She doesn't have an agent. She's looking to buy her max budget is $400,000. She will be available for a meeting by appointment. It is a client that you can help.
Yeah.
They didn't cover specifically what the person wanted to go see a house or anything like that in this scenario.
Okay. And then he said she would be available for what?
She'd be available for a meeting via appointment, which basically means you can set an appointment with her. Like sometimes you'll hear they'll say, oh, they would like to see the house today at 5 o'clock, or they would like to get together with you, you know, but if they don't, they'll just say by appointment, which means they didn't have a specific time that they wanted to meet with somebody.
So this sounds like they are proactively reaching out to your leads. This person didn't reach out to them, presumably.
Right. So this person filled out a form on realtor.com and they immediately got a phone call.
Here's how I would train the people. Understand from the rep what the different instances are, because you want to begin immediately with what the action is they took or what the information is they want to know.
So right. And you do get an email that shows up and says, this person, I want to see this property. I'm interested in it. So you do get some of that as well.
Okay. So this listening to the prompt makes this agent's entry even more annoying. That's why this woman's trying to speed it the hell up.
Yeah. Because again, I don't know how long this person was on the phone, but when you look at the amount of information that the rep shared, it was at least a couple minutes, right?
Yeah.
They know that they're not pre-qualified. They had a zip code they were specifically looking in. They want to move in the next 6 months. I mean, they've done a bunch of the discovery for you, which means that they've been on the phone for a minute.
Right. Yeah.
Doing good. How's your day going so far?
It's going fine. How do you spell your last name?
Yeah. And I'm a local agent in, but I do the whole Northwest.
Okay. Okay. And who do you work for?
Realty.
That's kind of.
And I can give you my cell number too, just so you have it.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So I just saw this house and I want to go look at it.
I'm just going to beat the dead horse here.
How many minutes in is that?
Well, it's hard to say. So we're 2 minutes in and probably 40 seconds of it was the rep transferring. So we're a minute and 10 seconds in, and this all she would have had to do is, hey, I see you're inquiring about 123 Main Street. Is it a house you'd like to go take a look at soon? Some version of that, or the house you'd like to make an appointment to see, any of those things. We would have skipped this whole diatribe about how you're doing and the price of tea in China and whatever the hell else they were talking about. It's so uninteresting to me. I can't remember it.
Oh my God. I was like, who is going to decide which way this conversation's going to go? Because nobody's taking the ball to run with it.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. And I don't know if I think in sales, it's pretty universal. Salespeople need to learn to take control control the conversation. And there's an exception. There's that 3-5% of drivers that you're going to piss off if you do that, but just recognize it when they push back and then learn to step out. But otherwise, most people who are making an inquiry, they want you to drive the conversation. It makes it easier for them. So do it.
Well, let me clarify this. When you say take control of the conversation, Brian, I know you don't necessarily mean do the talking, because control can mean ask a question,
direct yes.
the conversation, or even let the lead talk until they should stop talking and you need to redirect. Like, that's control. That's taking control of the conversation. This agent, the salesperson, was kind of sitting there waiting for something to happen. He was like, yeah. Hello, you've reached the information desk. Please tell me what you would like.
Is it the one in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And my daughter-in-law just said that there's a pending sale on it, a contingency, I guess, or something.
Okay.
But I can't find that. I don't see that anywhere.
Yeah. I can definitely call and see what's going on with it. If it's pending, and if it is, how far out are they?
Okay.
In regards to this, because when they put like a escape clause on it, normally that's when somebody makes an offer on the house and they still have to sell their house or something along those lines. And
yeah.
somebody else makes an offer better without a contingency, they have like 48 hours to either take their contingency off and proceed. If they can't, then they have to get out of the contract, and then it goes into a new contract.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, if you could find that out for me, I have a home that I don't know if we were originally bought this house as a rental. But then COVID happened and one thing happened after another. And so, but I'm looking for a larger home, an older home. I love the characteristics of that house. But I want to see it to even think about whether I want to entertain it or not, because it looks like it's going to need a lot of investment in it. But, you know, I don't know. So I haven't really looked for a home through a realtor for a long time. We were from the Northwest.
So it's interesting to me, as I listen to this woman, she just talks, and which is great as a salesperson. I want to give this salesperson credit. She is shutting up and letting her do the discovery. And I'm also, if I'm on this call, I'm taking notes. Like, I want to know what she likes about this house. I want to know, is a fixer up or something that you've ever done before? You know, I got a strange feeling this woman's pretty savvy and she could probably handle it. But I don't know about you, but I've had those people who are like, oh yeah, I want to do a fixer up, or great. So, you know, how much money think it's going to go? Oh, I don't know, probably $100,000. Okay, great. Do you have $100,000? No, I don't, but I'm sure the bank will give it to me. Oh, no, the bank won't. You know, like, my favorite is, well, can I just buy the house for $300,000 and then they'll give me $100,000 to fix it up? No, you can't. But a lot of people are ignorant of that, and you get an opportunity to express your expertise. Now, I didn't love how she can explain the contingency, but it did show that she understood real estate, and I do appreciate that. I don't know if you have any thoughts around me.
So I do. I think that it was too much. I didn't need to use that description to convince the person of something or to move them forward. And in fact, I think that it was too much and it was off topic. And what I know is when I educate a consumer too much, they have less reason to come back to me again. And so my purpose in this call is, do you want to see this house or not? Right? Oh, well, I can't tell whether it's pending or not. Great. I think my purpose still is, can I get you to see this property? Can I get you to see other properties? And in this conversation, can I get more about who you are, what you're trying to do, why you're doing it, when you'd like to do it, what the specifics are around your situation? Can I build rapport with you? Can I move you forward? Not in educating you about whether or not deals will fall out. So what I'd probably do is shortcut it down to, oh God, okay, well, I can fall and find out for you whether or not it's under agreement and how far along it is. If it's still available to see, would you like to go see it?
Right.
That's about as much as I'm going to do.
Yeah, we missed the opportunity to set the appointment. Now, we'll set it eventually, but we missed the opportunity to set the appointment. Remember, if you have an opportunity to give a client what they want, what's this woman want? She wants to see this house, right? give it to them. Yep. It's amazing how receptive people are after you do something for them that they like.
Exactly.
And easier. And,
just think this, how the sausage gets made, little snippet in here wasn't necessary. I don't believe that it served a purpose for us.
Yeah, so she's the lead said, there's something about a 10-day something or other. I don't know what the hell that means or where she got that information from. And I would say, great. So just like Dale, great. I appreciate that. I'll research what that's about. I'm not 100% sure where that information came from. Would you like to go see the house? Yeah, great. So I'm going to do my best to get that set. Just set the freaking appointment. Again, the number one rule that Dale and I have talked about over the last 5 years, it's really easy to cancel an appointment. Not as easy to set one. So when you get the opportunity to set one, set it. I've never not been able to cancel an appointment. That has never been a thing that I've struggled with, right? It's easy. Yeah. Hey, we can't see the house tonight. Sorry. All right. That's not the best script, but nonetheless, I still canceled the appointment, right? That's.
Can I just throw this in there about setting the appointment?
Yeah, please.
Getting a consumer to agree to an appointment with you causes a certain couple of things to happen. First of all, the consumer has to imagine actually executing that appointment, what it means, how it will go, and the fact that you're going to be there, right? So now they've just done some mental energy around making a reality of meeting with you, the salesperson. So that's one, will cause a couple of things, which is they'll be more likely to say yes to you again in the future if they've already said yes once. And they're more likely to remember who you are if they agreed to have an appointment with you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit more around why you want to shoot for that appointment, get the appointment booked. And then if it has to get canceled later, you can do that too.
Well, and here's another thing. If she goes and shows this house to her, she's going to have to sign an agreement. It didn't used to be true. We used to show houses all the time without getting something signed. She's going to have to sign something. And literally, the next agent who talks to this person, if assuming that that happens, do you have an agreement signed with another agent? Well, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. And I'm not saying 100% of the people are signing a 6-month agreement with you. I know that that doesn't happen. But my experience, and Dale, I don't know how much you've tracked this, but we're tracking about 80 to 85% of the people sign 3-month contracts with us.
Excellent.
And by the way, it's not because we're doing amazing scripting. It's because take some credit for it, but that's not what it is. It's simply that we are now forced to ask the question. We ask the question and they go, okay, it's amazing. Why didn't that work a year ago? Well, because you weren't confident in the way you were presenting it a year ago. Now you're like, well, you've got to sign this or you can't see the house. The amount of confidence that comes through for most agents that way, I want to bottle that and use it in all the rest of their conversations, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Crazy how that works, huh?
Yep. All right. So I'm just going to play the very end of this thing.
Interested. And looking at whatever else is out there too, you know.
Okay,
that
awesome.
That is similar to the layout of this one, you know.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm going to send you a quick text too with my information so you don't have to worry about going to like realtor.com or any other site.
Perfect.
You have Thank my you. Cell number and you can text, call me anytime in between, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later today.
You're very welcome. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. So, you know, she set the appointment. You know, that's why they're talking later on today. And then she actually went through, sent her contact information, explained why that was valuable. And so, again, you know, this is one of those calls that on the surface, it feels like a 9 out of 10. In reality, it's about a 6 out of 10, right? We got the result. We're going to go show the house. This person feels like they're going to be our client whenever they do purchase. I really do feel that way. So on that way, it's a 10 out of 10. But if you're looking at it for the ability to do it again, it's not ideal. And that's one of the things I think it hurts people more than anything else right now is they have a conversation that has the result that they want. And because they got the result they want, they made the assumption that they did a good job. It's not always true.
Right. Exactly. That makes sense. I did hear doing the button up a little bit at the end there. Hey, so you don't have to go back to realtor.com or wherever. I think that she could take it another step a little bit farther, right? Because if you do, they're going to sell your information to all these agents out there and you're going to get a bunch of phone calls blowing up your phone. So do this instead, right?
Yep.
Just stick it in there a little bit more. Here's what the detriment to you is if you do that. And this is not what you want, right? You don't want a bunch of, you know, scary salespeople calling you. Nobody does.
I also used to, like on a call this long, this call's, you know, about 8 minutes long. I also would say this to this person. Hey, unless you want to go through this interrogation again, if another agent calls you, just tell them you work with Brian Curtis at HomeQuest Realty and they'll leave you alone.
There we go.
And again, why am I doing it? Because it benefits me, but I told them what the benefit was to them because they don't give a shit about me. They just met me 8 minutes ago. I mean, even if I'm the nicest guy on the planet, they don't care. So what's in it for them? And, you know, that's a great way to look at sales in general. What's in it for the other person? You know, I was talking to a person yesterday and I was like, here's where you're missing your sales. You're out there telling them all the great things that you can do. They don't care. What they want is they have a problem, and what you need to do is talk about how you can solve their problem. That's it. They don't care that you've been a realtor for 20 years and you've sold 10 million houses and that you're this and you're that. How many times, Dale, do you hear people talking about all that stuff when they weren't asked? Now, hey, what's your experience? Then I should definitely tell them. I don't know about you. In thousands of appointments I've been on, I bet you less than 1% that people ask me my experience.
I agree. All right, Brian, I think we've given them enough for one day to chew on. So, everybody, thanks for joining me, Dale Archdeegan, Brian Curtis.
Appreciate you. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, if you're really enjoying this information and you want some more help for you specifically, two things you can do. Click the links below. You can either submit one of your calls and we can play them here and give you feedback, free coaching from two veteran sales trainers. Or also, I have a couple of options below where you can get in and get some free training from us and get introduced to our community of other agents and team leaders who are crushing it these days in real estate sales and improving their ability to convert leads, book more appointments, and close more deals.